enough in today's Mem Hei. And we're going to start exactly where we left off in Yirtzeh Hashem yesterday. And that's with Kol Yotzim Lahatzil Chozrim Limkoma. And the Gemara now analyzes the Mishnah back on Daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis. There's almost a blatant stira, a contradiction in the Mishnah itself. Because on the one hand, the Mishnah opens up by saying that if somebody left his Tum Shabbos, he had Rishus to do so. He did it because he was mandated by the Chachamim. Then we give him Alpayim Amal Chol Ruach. And that's what we're going to give him. Whereas the end of the Mishnah says that Kol Yotzim Lahatzil Chozrim Limkoman. And it sounds like his, no matter how far he went from his original Makom, he's not within Alpayim Amo, Afilu Tuva, if the distance that he found himself in as a result of the fact that he had to go Chutz L'Tchum, and they notified him that he's no longer necessary, they have a doctor to take care of the patient, or they found other Edim to be Makadish Levana. The Mishnah seems to imply that no matter how far he went from his original bias, he's allowed to return. Va'amrit Reisha, but yet the Reisha says, Alpayim Amo V'sulo, that the maximum we're going to allow him, if he went out of the Tchum B'Rishus Chachamim, is 2,000 Amo in each direction, but the safe of the Mishnah seems to imply he went out 4,000 or 5,000, I don't care how far, and he can go back to his bias. On Rav Yudam Arav, according to Rav, this is the following reconciliation of the Reisha and the Sefer. Enochinami, the Reisha is correct. The maximum amount of time we're going to, of space or distance we're going to give him is Alpayim Amo, but the Sefer, the Mishnah that says Chozrim Limkoman, which is Mashma Filutuva, that's Chozrim Bekli Zion Limkoman. Which means that if, let's say, he went out to battle and the battle was over, nevertheless, he's allowed to take him with him his weapons, and he doesn't have to leave them in that place where he finished the war. And Rashi explains that we're not going to say that since the battle was over, therefore let him just throw his weapons wherever he is, just take them off his body, without being Mechal Shabbos and returning his Kalim. No, we're going to allow him to take his Kalim. But again, in terms of what distance we're going to allow him to return, that already was stipulated by the Reisha of the Mishnah, that we give him up to 2,000 Amah, not more. The Gemara doesn't understand at this point why Rabbi Yudam Arav was so impressed by this lechora contradiction between the Reish and the Sefer. My Kusha, what should have bothered him? Dilma, why not just simply explain the Sefer that Lahatzil Shiny? That in the Sefer, we're not talking about the case where they needed him for Kiddush Levana or for some other mitzvah, but rather we're talking in the Sefer about a case of Lahatzil Es Yisrael. We have to defeat our enemies amongst the non-Jews. And that has a different status. The Rabbanan are going to be mater him to return back to where he started from, because even if we assume that the Jews won that battle, Emir Tzashem, but nevertheless, the enemy still might re-establish his forces and come back and again attack them a second time. So when you're talking about a case in the Sefer of Yotzim Lilochem, we're going to fight a battle against a military campaign against our non-Jewish enemies, then the Chacham are going to be matir, that he can go back to his city, no matter how far he has to go, even if it's more than Alpayim Amo, because we're always afraid that the Goyim might recoup and reassemble their forces and again start running after them. So they go back to the city in order to protect themselves. So therefore, at this point, the Gemara thinks that we're going to have to reinterpret Rav Yehuda Marav and relate to his sentence, his pronouncement, in a different context. Not in the context of reconciling the Reisha and the Seifa of our Mishnah, Eliki Kasha, that if there was a Kasha, some sort of a contradiction that Rav Yehuda Marav was coming to reconcile, HaKasha was this contradiction. And that is based on a Mishnah in Masechet Rosh Hashanah with regard to those who leave the Tchum Shabbos in order to testify that they saw the Levana B'chidusha. Barishona, originally, the situation was before a special takana that was instituted, that once the Edom came into Beis Din and their testimony was accepted about the new moon, then exactly at that location where the Beis Din was Makabler Edus, that's where they would remain because it was Chutz L'Tchum. So they went Chutz L'Tchum in order to testify, and as soon as they completed their testimony, they would have to remain within, we'll give them a radius of 4 amos to walk in. And this was a very difficult situation for the witnesses. You know, here they're going out for the sake of this mitzvah, and now you're confining them to Dalet Amos. Is Hiskin Rabbi Gamliel, Hazokin Rabbi Gamliel, the elder, made a takana, sheyesh lam alpayim ama l'chol ruach. So the Mishnah Sanhedrin establishes that post-takana, after Rabbi Gamliel's enactment, we gave them 2,000 amah in every direction from the Beis Din. And even though it was Chutz L'Tchum, the Chacham have the authority to make takanas and allow Yitzia Chutz L'Tchum under certain circumstances for the benefit of the Edus. And then the Mishnah goes ahead and says, V'lo b'yelu b'lvad amru. Not only did the Chachamim, based on this takana, establish a 2,000 amah radius in each direction for the sake of the Edim who are testifying at the Kiddush Levana, el afilu chachma is another word for a mialedes, that's a midwife, haba'a liyaled, she had to go chutz l'tchum in order to help a Jewish woman give birth. And furthermore, ve'haba lahatzel min agayis, a person who went out to join the military legions of the Jewish people and save the Jews from the military forces of the goyim, u'min anahar, or let's say there was a case where the waters of the river were inundating and it was very dangerous, and min ha-mapolis, mapolis is an actual fall of water, u'min ha-dleika, or there was a fire that was breaking. In all these cases, if a person had to go out chutz l'tchum, harei elu ka'anshei ha'ir, and they are considered, no matter how far they got, to be part of the city, they're allowed to therefore go from one side of the city to the other, v'yesh lehem alpayim ama l'chol ruach, and will give them even as much as 2,000 amah in each direction. Now, the implication of this Mishnah is, clearly, that beyond alpayim amah, more than 2,000 amah, we're not going to give them. So the Gemara asks, v'su lo, is the maximum distance that we allow them, based on this takana, 2,000 amah v'amrit, but what about our Mishnah that says, kol yotzim lahatzil, that anyone who goes out to battle to protect the Jewish people, chozim l'mkomon, he goes back to his original place. And the implication is afilu tuva, no matter how far away he went. So that we see clearly in this Mishnah, in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, that the maximum allowance after the takana of Gamliel is 2,000 amah, whereas our Mishnah here in Masechet Erevin seems to imply afilu tuva. On that we have a reconciliation of Amar Rabbi Yehuda Marav. In other words, our Mishnah did not intend to convey that they're allowed to go back even more than back to their city, even more than 2,000 amah. As we saw in the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, the limitation, the cap is 2,000 amah. But in a case where they're within 2,000 amah of the city, they're allowed to go back to their place, and they're allowed to take with them their weapons. That's what our Mishnah means. They call Yotzim Lahatzel Chozrim and Koman, means that when they're allowed to return into the city, because they're within 2,000 amah, they can take with them their weapons. And even though at face value we would say that there's a possibility here that they'll be carrying 4 amos in Rishus HaRabim, it doesn't matter. There's a Sakonas Nefashos. And I'm quoting here Rabbeinu Yonason, one of the Rishonim. He says, there's no iser of taking the weapons from Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYochid, Lefish HaSakonas Nefashos Yesh B'Dovar, Im Yanichu Es Klei Zeinon Bachutz. Now, in order to appreciate this, Rabbeinu Yonason, that there's a Pikuach Nefesh situation, if we allow them, if we force them to leave their Klei Zion out there, outside of the city. So for that, we're going to have to see the next piece of Gemara. And that is Kedisanya. We learned in a Braisa Barishona, originally before the Takana, allowing them to take the Kli Zion even into the city, even carrying it Rishus HaRabim Talad Amos, even taking it from a Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYochid, is Hayu Menichem Kli Zion Bebayis HaSomach L'Choma. What they did was, the warriors, the Jewish warriors, would, when they got to the city, the outskirts of the city, before they entered into the wall of the city, they would take off their weapons and leave it right there so that they don't bring it into what could be a Rishus HaRabim, or if they carry it through a Rishus HaRabim into a Rishus HaYochid. But Pamachas, there was a terrible catastrophe. And what happened is that after the Jewish warriors returned from battle and they had left their weapons in that house, right, that lodging, so to speak, right before the entry into the walls of the city, Hikiru Bahen Ha'oivim, the enemies recouped and their forces, Radfach Reim, ran after them. V'nichnesu, they went into that lodging, that house where the weapons were stored, Litolus Klezenon. And now they wanted to take the Jewish weapons away. Menichnasu Oivim Achram Vidochku Zel Etzev Ahargu Zedze Yeser Yosemi Mashahargu Oivim. There was such an overwhelming confusion because the Jews did everything that they could to protect their weapons, that they started killing each other, one or the other. And the Jews killed more of their own, what we call friendly fire today, if you're familiar with that phrase, than the numbers that were Nebuch victims and killed by the enemy. So that leaving the Klei Zion outside the city limits could cause a terrible catastrophe, as Bosa Shaiskinu. And as a result of this episode, the Chacham got up and they made a takana, Shiyu Chozin L'Mulchamta L'Mekoman B'Kli Zaynon, that they're even allowed to violate the Shabbos and carry their weapons into the city, all the way back to their homes, not to leave them outside the city walls, and violate the Melechas Hotzah. And when Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Rav, said that our Mishnah is allowing us not to go beyond Alpayim Amah, but in effect, when there's Alpayim Amah, they're allowed to take with them their Klei Zion, their weapons, and they don't have to leave them outside. And we're not choshesh for a Malacha Dorais of Havara Dalet Amos, Rishus HaRabim, or alternatively, for Achnasa of Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYochid. And that's based on this Takana that was enacted in the aftermath of that terrible tragedy. So that's one approach to reconcile the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, which allows up to Alpayim Amah, with the Sefer of our Mishnah here, is Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar Lo Kasha. He feels that there's a much simpler way of reconciling this contradiction. Kan shenitzchu Yisrael as umas ha'olam, kan shenitzchu umas ha'olam es atzmon. In the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, that allows the soldiers after the battle to go up to, on the way back, up to 2,000 amos of a distance, but not beyond. That's because the Jews were successful and triumphant in their battle over the Goyim. And therefore, there's no need or pressing need to be matir that they go more than alpayim amos. But the Mishnah here in Erevin, that seems to allow even more than alpayim amos, and the Mishnah says, "Kol yotzim lahatzil chozim limkomon." That's a case where, unfortunately, the Jews lost the battle. And even though the Gemara says as atzmon, as if to say that the goyim defeated themselves, that's a lashon saginor. That's a euphemism. But what the Gemara is really telling us, Rav Nachman, is that in the Mishnah in Erevin that we're learning, they defeated the Jews, and therefore were afraid after one lost battle that the Goyim are going to regroup and again attack them a second time. Therefore the Chachamim allow them to return to their city and have the protection of the walls of the city, even though they were way, way beyond Alpayim Amos. Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, now we have other dinim with regard to Goyim that battle against the Jewish people on Shabbos. Nachrim shetzaru al ayoros shel Yisrael. They created a siege, our enemies, around a Jewish city. Ein yotzen aleim b'kli zeinam vein mechalim aleim es haShabbos. And when we read this at superficial level, it sounds like we're not allowed to protect ourselves because of the Shabbos, and that's impossible. That's an untenable position. So for that, we have to learn the next Gemara. Tanya Nami Hochi, Nachrim Shetzaru al Ayoras Yisrael Ve'en Yotzen Aleim V'Kli Zayne Mechalan Esashab Bamidvar Mamurim. When do we say they're not allowed to go out and violate the Shabbos in battle against their enemies? That's only Kishabo al Iske Mamon, when it was clear that the Goyim were just trying to steal and take possession of Jewish possessions. They weren't coming to fight a battle, you know, till death do us part. Avol bo'al iskei nefashos, if we have reason to suspect that the goyim are coming to destroy us, is yotzim aleim b'kli zeinon u'machalan leinis haShabbos. And we will go out to battle and violate the Shabbos, because clearly this is a pikuach nefesh situation. Okay, now the Braisa adds a very important point, and that is that there are situations in which the Goyim are going to attack a city only for the purpose of absconding with the possessions of the Jews, and yet we're allowed to violate the Shabbos in order to protect that city. And that's called Be'ir HaSmucha L'Sfar. These are border cities on the borders of Israel. V'afilu lo bo al iskei nefashos al iskei teven v'kash. Even if all the goyim want to do is confiscate our straw, and they're not interested in fighting a battle to kill us, nevertheless, yotzim aleim b'kli zeinam mechalan es haShabbos, because we're afraid that if the goyim capture a border city, then from there it's going to be easy for them to break through and conquer the entire Jewish community. And therefore we have to do everything to protect the border cities, even if at this moment there's no pikuach nefesh, but it is foreseeable, almost predictable, that this will lead to pikuach nefesh. And that's called Ir HaSmucha L'Sfar. Om Rav Yosef Bar Niyomi, Om Rav Nachman, Ubebavel, And there is a city in Babylonia, Ki'ir Asmuchel Sfaradami, which has the same status as a borderline city within the borders of the land of Israel. And we are allowed to be Mechal Shabbos, even in a case where the Goyim came to attack that city, only for the purpose of gaining financial possessions of the Jews, confiscating the Tigamua, and we'll have to interpret it Naharda. Naharda was on the border between where the Goyim lived and where the Jews lived. So then on one side of the city of Naharda, let's call it the northern side, that's where the Goyim lived, and on the southern side, the Jews lived. So Naharda was a very critical, strategic city for the Jewish people. And we have to do whatever we have, even if we have to violate the Shabbos, in order to protect the city of Naharda. Now the Gemara wants to know, is there any proof for what the Braisa stipulates and what Rav Yosef applies and extends to the case of Naharda, that we can violate the Shabbos for an Ir HaSmuchel Sfar, even if the Goyim are only attacking that city in order to confiscate Jewish possessions? Darash Ra Rebbe Dostoy, Demin Biri, he came from the city of Biri. Mai Dechsiv, what can we derive from the Pasuk in Shmuel Aleph Perek Chav Gimel? And this is the city of Klia, of Ke'ila, excuse me. And David HaMelech is going to find out that the Plishtim are attacking the city of Ke'ila, a Jewish city in Israel. Vayagidu leDavid leMar, hine Plishtim nilchamim beKe'ila. The Plishtim have initiated a battle to conquer the Jewish city of Ke'ila. Vehema shosim es hageronos, or geronos. And that means they're taking over the granaries. And the Pasuk went out of its way to tell us that the Plishtim, in this particular battle against Ke'ila, were motivated to take over Jewish possessions. Tana, and the Braisa with regard to Ke'ila says, Ke'ila ir asmuchel esfar hoisa, that Ke'ila was a borderline city, Vehem and the Plishtim lo bo el aliske tevin vekash, they were only interested in taking Jewish possessions, the Chsiv, as the Pasuk went out of its way to tell us, Vehema shosim es hagranos, they were only interested in the biza of the granos. And nevertheless, uksiv, vayishal David b'ashem leimor ha'elech, David conferred with the Urim v'Tumim in order to ask the question, ha'elech v'ikesi b'plishtim ha'ela. The Gemara seems to assume that this whole story took place on Shabbos, and David wanted to get the okay from the Urim v'Tumim to violate the Shabbos. Vayomer Hashem al David, and God's response through the Urim v'Tumim was, Lech v'kisa b'plishtim v'oshata es ke'ila, go out in battle and violate the Shabbos in order to protect the city of Ke'ila. And even though it was crystal clear and understood that the Plishtim were motivated just al iskei mamon, they weren't interested in killing the Jews at that point, nevertheless, God told David, he instructed him through the Urim v'Tumim, that he would be allowed to violate the Shabbos in order to defeat the enemy, the Plishtim, and protect the city of Ke'ila. Why? Because it was a border city, irrelevant to the fact that the Plishtim were motivated just al iskei mamon. So from this drasha of Rav Dostoy, we can bring a source in the Tanakh for this halacha that we violate the Shabbos in order to protect a city that's on the kfar, that's on the sfar. So the Gemara clarifies this. Mai kami boile, what exactly was the suffix of David that compelled him to raise this question, addressing it to the Urim V'Tumim? Elam, if you're going to tell me, he was asking about a Shabbos halacha, Ishari, Ios, is he allowed to go out and battle against the Plishtim on Shabbos? Even though, despite the fact that they were only interested in Tevin V'Kash, or is it Asur? Gemara says that's not the question that we ask to the Urim V'Tumim. Hare Bezdino Shel Shmuel Aramasi Kayo. There was a Bezdin of Shmuel. Shmuel, by the way, was not only one of the Nevi'im of Klal Yisrael, he was also one of the Chachmei HaMesorah. And he had a Bezdin. And when you have halachic questions of Isa V'Heter, then you relate and present those questions to the Bezdin, to the Chachmei Yisrael, who are authorized to answer all halachic questions. L'tosu mikol sheyerucha, the Torah says. So it could not be that David HaMelech was asking a halachic question to the Urim V'Tumim. We have a principle called Lo Bashamayim Hi, and the Urim V'Tumim is bringing us the word of God from Shemayim, but that doesn't have any validity when it comes to a halachic decision. For that, we go to the Beis Din. Ella, therefore, by process of elimination, what was David HaMelech asking? I matzliach, I lo matzliach. Will I be successful in defeating the Plishtim in Keilah? And it was absolutely clear that on a halachic level, there were no holds barred. And they would be permitted to violate the Shabbos for the sake of defending a city called Smucha L'Sfar, a borderline city on the border, on the boundaries. And this even though the Goyim, in this case the Plishtim, are motivated for Iskei Mamon. And David HaMelech just wanted to clarify that they would indeed have the military ability, or shall we say the help of God, to defeat the Plishtim. Otherwise, you know, this is pointless just to go out to battle and lose the battle and lose all the soldiers. And Deka Nami, the Chsiv, I'll show it to you in the Pasuk. It says, Lech v'kisa b'plishtim v'oshatas ke'ilah. In other words, go defeat the Plishtim and protect the city of Ke'ilah and all those who live therein. Shmamida, we see clearly that his question was, would he succeed in this battle, and would he be able to subjugate the Plishtim and protect the lives of the dwellers of Ke'ilah? Now, Tosfos here, Dibur Haskel Imatzliach, says, I don't get it. If this whole episode of David conferring with the Urim V'Tumim was only to find out if he would win the battle, then how does the Gemara prove that for the sake of protecting an Iras Mucha L'Sfar, we could violate the Shabbos? In fact, there's no indication that this whole episode took place on Shabbos. Maybe it took place during the week, and David HaMelech wanted to know whether or not it would be a successful campaign. He had no compunctions about Isa V'Heter because it was during the week. Who could guarantee us that this story, this episode of Ke'ilah, took place actually on Shabbos? So Tosa says that even if this whole episode took place on Chol, we still could prove from this episode that you would be allowed to be Mechal Shabbos in this scenario. Why? Because by going out to battle, David HaMelech put the soldiers and his own life into danger. And the only way you would allow to do so would be if there's a Pikuach Nefesh situation. And once there's a Pikuach Nefesh situation, then it would mean that we would override the Shabbos. This leads us to the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Mem Hei Amud Aleph. This Mishnah is going to deal with cases of a person who finds himself on the outset, at the beginning of Shabbos, the onset of Shabbos, he finds himself outside of the city. Mishi Yoshav Baderech. So it's Erev Shabbos, it's getting close to sunset, and he sits down, takes a little break, he's very tired from the travels, and he doesn't realize that within 2,000 Amma, there is a city. He doesn't know his exact location. He's unaware of it. So he didn't have kavanah to be kona shvisa inside the city. In effect, he was under the impression that he would be kona shvisa exactly where he rested. Let's say he found an inn to sleep in, right before Shabbos. The Amad. And then during Shabbos, he got up. And he realized that hu omed hareu omed samach le'ir. He's within 2,000 amma of the city. And now, he really is sort of kicking himself. Why wasn't I kona shvisa in the city? Why was I kona shvisa outside the city? Because again, if he was kona shvisa inside the city, then he could go from one end of the city to the other on Shabbos. And not only that, he can go 2,000 amma in any direction he chooses outside of the city boundaries. So the Mishnah Paskins, since he had no kavana to be kona shvisa in the city, therefore he doesn't have the status of the rest of the members of the city who are allowed to go throughout the old city plus 2,000 amma, but rather he was kona shvisa bimkomo, and he's only allowed to go 2,000 amma in each direction from that point where he was kona shvisa. Divrei Rabbi Meir, that's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, he kanes. Rabbi Yehuda holds that he's allowed to enter into the city, and when you give him the status of a person, Alpidin, who is kona shvisa inside the city, because if he would have known how close he was to the city, then he wouldn't have had in mind to be kona shvisa in the place where, with the onset of Shabbos, he finds himself, but rather he would rather prefer to be kona shvisa with the members of the city. And here we mention again Rabbeinu Yonasan. He says that the Mishnah is talking about a case of a person who declared shvisasi bimkomi, that I hereby, at this moment, right before the stars come out on Friday night, I am being kona shvisa right here in this makom. And even despite that fact, Rabbi Yehuda, now Mishnah, says he kanes. He could go into the city. And his ability to be kona shvisa in the city is not undermined. Because this amira, this declaration that he made, was a mistaken declaration. The Rashba, on the other hand, quotes the Ravid, who says that if he made a verbal declaration, tehei shvisasi bimkomi, in that case, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that his shvisa is in that makom where he's kona shvisa, and he's not part of the members of the city as far as his shvisa is concerned. So this is going to be a major machlokas rishonim here. What happens if he made a verbal declaration, shvisasi bimkomi? Rabbi Yehuda wants to support his position. Maisa hoya v'nichnas Rabbi Tar from below miskamen. There was actually a situation in which the great Rabbi Tarfon, who was the Gadol HaDor, he was Shoves Erev Shabbos, what he thought was close to the city. He didn't realize that he was so close to the city that he could have been Kona Shvisa within the city because he was within the Tchum of the ear. He didn't have Kavanah to be Shoves inside the city. And when he found out how close he was to the city, he walked into the city on Shabbos as if he had been Kona Shvisa in the city. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda, Maisav Rabbi Tarfon, Shoy Mahalich Bederech V'choshcholo V'lon Chutz La'ir. So he went to sleep with the onset of Shabbos outside of the city, L'shachris, and the following morning of Shabbos, Matzau Roei Bakar, the shepherds found him, Amalo Rebbe, Harei Ha'ir L'fanecha. You're already right here in the city. He kanes, going to the city. Once Rabbi Tarfon became aware of that fact, nichnas v'yoshav v'beis ha-medrash v'dorash kol hayom kulo. He went into the beis medrash, and he was able to go into the city, because now he found out that he was so close to the city. Even though, again, his kavana was to be kona shvisa outside the city. So when Rabbi Yehuda quoted this story as a proof text, Amrulo, they responded, Misham Raya? You have no proof from there. Shema Belibo, perhaps Belibo Haisa, Maybe in that case, we don't know, Rabbi Tarfon had his machshava to be Konish Vis in the city. He knew how close he was to the city. Again, you could ask, why does the Bryson then tell us that the Roy Bokar had to point out to him, Harei Ha'ir Lefanecha? So the Gemara is not so happy with this interpretation. Tosa says that probably what the Gemara has in mind is that Rabbi Tarfon was unsure of how close he was to the city until the Roi Baka told him, but his intention, Balev, was Enochinami, to be Konish Vis in the city. So therefore the Gemara gives another answer in order to reject this proof of Rabbi Yehuda. Oh, perhaps we could say the Beis Medrash Muvla B'toch Tchumo Hoya, that he was outside the city with the onset of Shabbos. He was Konish Visa at that point, at that location, outside the city. But the Beis Medrash was located within 2,000 Amma of that location where he was Konish Visa. But it doesn't mean that he's Konish Visa in the city. He's Konish Vis outside the city, but he's allowed to go 2,000 Am in each direction. It happened to be that the Beis Medrash was within that 2,000 Alpayim Amma of a radius. And now we're up to the second Mishnah, which is all the way on the bottom of Daf Mem Hei Amud Aleph. And this Mishnah addresses the case of a person who's on the road, he's traveling on Erev Shabbos, it's getting dark, and he falls asleep. Misha Yoshem Baderech, he fell asleep on Erev Shabbos, on the road. V'lo Yoda Shecha Shecha. And all of a sudden he wakes up and he realizes it's already Shabbos. Is Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds that Kana Shvisa Memkomo Yesh L'Alpayim Amal L'Chol Ruach, that even though he wasn't consciously aware of the fact that he was Konish Visa, but automatically, because he was a Yoshen, and we know that if he would have been awake, he would have been Konish Visa, he would have had that intention, so therefore, we consider it as if he had that intention. So we didn't give him 2,000 Am in each direction. Chachomim HaMachmir, they reject Rabbi Yochanan, and Omer, they say, Ein lo el arba amos. In other words, the Chachomim will give him 4 amos. And what that means is really they gave him 8 amos. He's in the middle of an 8 amma radius, so he can go 4 amos in each direction. But that's the maximum he's allowed to go, because he wasn't Konish Visa. And why wasn't he Konish Visa? Because he was sleeping. And to be Konish Visa, you have to have some sort of conscious awareness of being Konish Visa. Again, it could be that the Chacham would agree to what we learned before about Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Yehuda's proof from Rabbi Tarfon that he was perhaps unaware of his close proximity to the city, but nevertheless he wanted to be Konish Visa. In this case, he wasn't Konish Visa because he was asleep. Rabbi Eliezer agrees with the Chachamim against the Tanakama. We're not going to give him 2,000 Am in each direction because he didn't have a conscious awareness of being Konish Visa. But the Dalet Amos works in a different way. It's not that we give him 8 Amos with him in the middle, 4 Amos in each direction, but rather Hu Biemtza. We're going to give him 4 Amos and he's in the middle of the 4 Amos. So therefore he's not allowed to walk 4 Amos towards the east or 4 Amos towards the west, which would mean all told 8 Amos, but rather we're going to give him the Tchum of Arba Amos, and we're going to say that he's standing in the middle, and therefore he's going to get 2 Amos in each direction. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Eliezer Ruach Sheyirtza Yelech. Rabbi Yehuda also agrees that since he was asleep at the time of the onset of Shabbos, we cannot say that he was Konish Visa. And therefore, all we're going to give him in a person who wasn't Kodesh Vis is 4 Amos. However, we're not going to judge it as if he's in the middle of this 4 Amos and give him 2 Amos in each direction, but rather, he can choose any direction he wants, and whatever he chooses, he gets 4 Amos in that direction. Umod Rabbi Yehuda, she'im birer lo Sheina Yochel Lachsarbo, that if he decided Lechatchila that he's going to go two amos in each direction or four amos in one particular direction, he cannot change his mind and then decide, you know what, I'm going to go four amos in the other direction. Once he's made his decision at the onset of Shabbos, that's binding. And that would mean that even Rabbi Yehuda, who said before that he gets Lezer Ruach Sheyirtza, which means he gets four amos in each direction, there are situations in which he will not be able to get four amos in each direction. He'll only get two amos in each direction. And that's the case of Birerlo, that he decided that he wants to go in this direction and in that direction. Or we're going to give him two amos in each direction. So that's a case where Rabbi Yehuda would agree with Rabbi Eliezer that in any particular direction, the maximum allowance is two amos. Hayu Shnayim, there were two men who fell asleep outside the city on Erev Shabbos Ben HaShemashos. Each one gets a tchum of four amos. And Miksas HaMosef Shel Zeh B'Soch HaMosef Shel Zeh. Rashi explains, they were six amos apart, and each one gets four amos, so there's a two ama overlap. Is Mevi'im V'Ochlim Ba'emtza. They can be brought food, any food that we can find. Maybe they brought food, they have a knapsack on their back, and they can eat together in that overlap, those two amos. That's where they can make a communal Suda Shabbos. And now we turn to Memhei Amid Beis. Ubelvad shelo yotzi zeh mitoch shelo l'toch shel chavero. In other words, neither one of them are allowed to take it outside of the common two amos into the four amos radius of his friend, because that's already beyond four amos of his radius. Hayu shlosha. Let's say there were three people that were eight amos apart. Hayim tzoy muvla beineihem. And the middle one is the overlap. He has two amos in common with, if we call him Shimon, with Reuven on one side and with Levi on the other side. Is hu mutar imahem? He's allowed to join them for two amos that are overlapping with Reuven and two amos with Shimon. Vehem mutarim imo, they're allowed to eat with him in that two amos that's overlap. But the two extremes, in other words, Reuven who's at this polar extreme of eight amos, and Shimon on this, or Levi, I should say, in other words, they have no overlap whatsoever, they have no muvla bitchum, there's no way that they can eat together on Shabbos. Reuven cannot eat with Levi. Reuven can eat with Shimon on the common two amos that overlap. Levi can eat with Shimon on their two amos that overlap, but no way that Reuven can eat with Levi. Om Rav Shimon Lamad over Dome. Rav Shimon makes the following analogy. Sholosh Chatzeros Apsucho Zulazu. There's a row of three courtyards. There's an opening from one courtyard to the middle courtyard, and from the middle courtyard there's an opening to the other third courtyard. Upsuchos Lushus Arabim. And each one on the extremes, again we'll call it Reuven and Levi, have an entranceway into Rishus HaRab. From their chotzer, they walk into Rishus HaRab. Irvu shtayim im haim tzoyos. If Reuven makes an Erev Chatzeros together with Shimon, and Levi makes an Erev Chatzeros together with Shimon, is he muteres imoim ve muteres imo? In other words, the middle guy, we'll call him Shimon, he's allowed to eat, he's allowed to carry into Reuven's chatzer, he's allowed to carry into Shimon's chatzer because of the various Eruvin that they made. But Shnayim Achitzonos Asur Zulzu, but Reuven and Levi are not allowed to carry from one chatzer to the other chatzer because there was no Eruv between Reuven and Levi. And by analysis, by analogy, says Rabbi Shimon, the same thing applies if you have an overlap of tchum, where the emtsoi, the middle fellow, has two amos in common with Reuven. He has another two amos in common with Levi, but Reuven and Levi have no partnership or overlap in the tchum. Boy, Rava raises the following suffix. My kasavar. What is the svara of Rabbi Yochanan? In other words, Rava wants to offer two interpretations of Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, so we'll go through these two interpretations. I can show you for some hot water. I made a mistake. Thanks. What's the suffix of Rava about Rabbi Yochanan? So we'll go through two tzedakim. The first is the following. A man fell asleep, and he's kone shvisa bimkomo. Mizbar kasavar, does Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri hold the following? Cheftze hefker konim shvisa. The issue here is not just about a person who fell asleep, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri is of the opinion that he's konish visa even though he's asleep, because had he been awake he would have been konish visa. But even with regard to another case where there was no intention to be konish visa, and that's a case of kalim, and these kalim were hefker, no one owned them at the moment of the onset of Shabbos, so therefore, although we have a principle that the kalim are kona kiregel abaylim, but here there were no baylim, so they cannot be kona shvisa. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri would hold that since cheftze hefker are konim shvisa, therefore adam yoshen is also like cheftze hefker, and he's kona shvisa. Now, in the case of cheftze hefker konim shvisa, that's a chumrah, because then we're saying that even if somebody during the course of Shabbos will take possession over these utensils, nevertheless he would not be allowed to move them beyond their original makom, because they weren't konish visa. Because they were konish visa. That's called cheftze hefker konim shvisa. In the case of Bnei Adam, if Rabbi Yochanan applies the same principle, that in the absence of kavana, nevertheless there is a kinyan shvisa, that's going to be a kula. Ubedinu de liflog bekelim, and therefore there could have been a machlokes about kelim, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri would say that kelim shall hefker akonish shvisa bimkoman. And we could give a maximum of alpayim ama around their makam. And the chachamim would hold the not kona shvisa. And lakula, whoever takes possession over Shabbos of these kelim, is allowed to take them within his 2,000 ama. Iva hadaka miflegi. How could it be that they argue be adam? Thank you so much. Just give me a second, Rebbe Osher. I'm sorry. I'm in a kind of a pikuach nefesh situation here. So why is it that the machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri and the Chachamim is formulated in terms of Adam? And the answer is, lo diachal kochan dirabanan. The afagav di ikol ameymar hoil v'neir kona yoshe namen kona kamashmolan dulo. There was a machlokes, twofold machlokes. Number one, as far as cheftze hefker, where the kona shvisum koman. And number two, in the case of Adam. Why did the Mishnah formulate the machlokes in a case of Adam to teach you how far the Chachamim were willing to go? You would have said in the case of Adam, he has the capacity of consciously and intentionally being Kona Shvisa. He happens to be asleep. The Chiddush is that even so, the Chachamim went as far as saying that he's not Kona Shvisa. So the Machlokas now, in this first Tzad of Rav Safek, is a twofold Machlokas, both with regard to Cheftzei Hefker without Kavona and Adam Yashen without Kavona. O Dilma, now we get to the second Tzad of Rav Safek, Kosovar, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Bialma, Cheftzei Hefker ein Konim Shvisa. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri agrees to the Chachamim that an inanimate object is incapable of being Kona Shvisa, and therefore it will be Keragle Koneim, in other words, whoever makes the Kinyan, that's the circumference of Alpai Mama where the Kelim are allowed to go. The Hochai Natayim, why does Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri disagree in the case of an Adam? Because the man, the human being, has the potential, if only he was awake, of consciously being Kona Shvisa. So again, just to summarize, Rava vacillates about Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. What would Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri say about Cheftzei Hefker? In the case of Adam, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is quoted as saying that he's Kona Shvisa even when he's Yoshen, without Kavana. But in the case of Kalim, we're not sure. And that's where Rava vacillates. Amar Rav Yosef Toshma. Here's what we learned in a Braisa, and now we could be poshet, we could answer the question of Rava. Gishomim sheyardu me'erev yontif. If rain fell on Erev Yontif and no one acquired ownership over this water, this rainwater, and after Yontif began, someone wants to be Kona Shvisa. To be Kona the rainwater. Nay, the Braisa says, Yeshlam Alpayim Amalachol Ruach. In other words, the person who acquires ownership over this rainwater, which is Hefker, on Yontif, is limited, he's bound by the Tchum of Alpayim Amma of the rainwater wherever it landed, wherever it fell. However, Biyontif, what happens in a case where the rainwater fell on Yontif itself? Then the Braisa says, Harehein Kiragle Kol Adam. Then it would not be Kona Shvisa Bimkoma because it was up in the clouds. So therefore, it's a neutral situation where Kol HaKodim Zacha, whoever comes along and acquires ownership over the rains, he will now determine the Alpayim Amo of Tchum Shabbos. So Rabbi Yosef analyzes this price. Iyamit Bishlema, if you're going to say that the first Tzad in Rav Safik is correct, because so Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Cheftzei Hefker Konim Shvisa, that we're going to derive an analogy between a human being and an inanimate object, and in both cases there's a Kinyan Shvisa, is Hamani, this Braisa would reflect Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri hi. And therefore, in the case where the rain fell before Yontif, it was Kona Shvisa exactly in its place. If you're going to hold that even Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri agrees to the Chachamim, like the second side in Rav Safek, that in the case of an inanimate object that doesn't have the potential to have Kavana, it's not Kona Shvisa, as Homani lo Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri velo Rabbanon, this Braisa doesn't fit into either Shita, because the Braisa says that Cheftzei Hefker are Kona Shvisa if the rainwater fell on Erev Yontif. Yosef Abai v'komer lo l'hashmaita. Abai heard this whole sugya, and he presented it to Rav Safra. Amalei Rav Safra Abaye. I'm not impressed by this proof of Rav Yosef from the Brice of Adilma, because perhaps Gishamim Asmuchim Le'iras Kinon. The case here is where the rain fell very close to the city, and the members of the city, already anticipating that the rains would fall, they had das, intention, to be Kona Shvisim Mkoman. And that's why it's Kona Shvisim Mkoman. You can't prove anything about Heftei Hefker. Amalei Sabai Sister of Safalos Al Kedaitach. It's impossible to assume, as you would present it, the possibility that the reason why the rains get Alpayim Amah for each direction is because the das of the Anshia ear. Disnan, we learned in the Mishnah in Masechta Beitza, bar shel yachid, kiragle yachid. If you have a cistern of water, the tchum allowance of that water is determined by the yachid. Kiragle osa yachid, it's privately owned, it's in his backyard, and you cannot take these waters anywhere beyond the tchum of the baal habar, of the owner of the bar. Vishal osa ir, kiragle osa ha'ir. And if the bar is owned by the city, then the kinyan shvisa and the tchum of alpayim ama depends upon the members of the city. So let's say, for example, if one of the members of the city made an Erev Tchum, towards the Mizrach or to the Marav, then he's not allowed to carry that water with him. Why? Because the water is determined, its Tchum is determined by the Anshe Ha'ir. So he can't determine, well, I want it this way. And if you have a bar that's Hefker, that's not owned by anyone, for example, Shel Ole Bavel is then Kiragle Hamamale. Whoever on Yontif will draw the water from the well, then the Tchum of the water is determined by the person who actually acquired ownership over the water. So we see clearly that in the case of Heftzei Hefker, Einom Konim Shvisa Bimkomon, that is Kiragle HaMamale, and the Mamale who acquires ownership over this water during the course of Yontif, he will determine the Tchum. And that's why in the case of a bar of Ole Bavel, that are coming from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, then the Tchum of the water is determined by Ragle HaMamale. Vitanya, on the other hand, we have another braisa, which seems to contradict. It says, Bar Shal Shvatim, which is the same as Bar Shal Ole Bavel, is Yesham Alpayim Amalchol Ruach. That the water was Kona Shvisa, and it's not Kiragle Hamamali. It doesn't depend upon who, which Ruvein Shimon Alevi is acquires ownership during the course of Yontif over the water. Is Kashin Adadi. We have now a stira between the Mishnah in Beitza and this Braisa, El Lav Shmamino, we much derive the conclusion, says Abaye, that Ha, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, one reflects the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that Heftzei Hefker is Konim Shvisa, and that we said is reflected in this Braisa that says that Barshal Shvatim Yesham Alpayim Ama L'chol Ruach. Veha, and the Mishnah in Beitza reflects the Shita Rabban and the Heftei Hefker Einom Konim Shvisa, and therefore Kiragle Amimale. In the case of Ole Bavel, which is Hefker, it depends on who acquired it. So this is the response of Abai to Rav Safra, that since we see a Machlokas Tanoim with regard to Heftei Hefker, whether they're Konim Shvisa or not, we should assume that the Brice that we quoted earlier about the Geshamim that fell on Erev Yontif, it's not talking about Gishamim HaSmuchim Le'ir, but rather reflects the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, who holds that Heftei Hefker HaKodim Shvisa B'Mkoman. Ki Asa L'Kami to Rav Yosef, when Abai came in front of Rav Yosef, Omale. Abai says to Rav Yosef, Hachakom HaRav Safra, This is what Rav Safra told me, that we could reject your proof from the Brice of Gisham Shiod Me'er V'yotiv, because the case of Smuchim Le'ir, Gisham Smuchim Le'ir, V'ahachia Hadri Le'ir, and this is how I rejected him, and I deflected his proof. So Abaye was very proud of himself. Amalei, Rav Yosef says to Abaye, you could have deflected his proof from the Brice itself. You didn't have to bring a stira from a Mishnah in Beitza to another Brice. Amailo Temele Migufa, why didn't you just reject Rav Safra from the Brice itself? The Brice itself clearly indicates that we're not talking about Gisham Masmuchim Le'ir. The Isal Kedaitach, if you're going to tell me the Brice is talking about a case of Gisham Masmuchim Le'ir, Askinon is high. Why does the Brice say, Yesh Lehem Alpayim Amalachol Ruach, that they get 2,000 Amma to eat in each direction? It should have said, ha, quote, Kiragli Anshi Osa'ir Miboyle, depending upon the city, the members of the city, because it fell close to the city of their das. So you see the Rav Safra, there's no way you could interpret it into the Brice. Omar Mar, we derived before that if the Geshomim fell on Yontif, then Harem Kiragli Kolodim HaMamalam, they weren't called a Shvis on Erev Yontif, because they didn't exist on Erev Yontif. Famai, so Gemara Sakasha, what do you mean it didn't exist on Erev Yontif? Liknei Shvisa Bokainus. All rainwater is brought from the great Atlantic Ocean and it goes up to the, you know, up to the clouds, and then it came down from the clouds, but it was Kona Shvisa in the Okainus. And therefore, I don't understand why you assume that if the rainwater fell on Yontif, the Brisa says, that it's Kiragli Kol Adam. There was no Kinyan Shvisa on the onset of Yontif. Lema, should we assume, based on this question, de lo kir Rabbi Eliezer hi. De kir Rabbi Eliezer ha-omar, Rabbi Eliezer says in Masechta Tainis, kola olam kula, mi meo kainis hu shose, that all the waters that we get from the rain, up in the clouds, they're all gathered together from the Okainus. So we have to reject Rabbi Eliezer, and we have to assume, no, the water doesn't come from the Okainus. Otherwise, it would be Kona Shvisa on Erev Yontif. Om Rabbi Yitzchak Hocha, be Ovin Shinis Kashum Erev Yontif Askinon, even if we accept Rabbi Eliezer. And therefore, the rains always come from the Okainus, but here we're talking about a case where the cloud formation clearly indicates that the waters of the Okainus were already absorbed in the clouds. That's called this kashru. You could see that the clouds going into Yontif were full of you know, saturated with water. And therefore they weren't called a shvisa beukainus. They were already lifted up from the Okainus. And they're coming down on Yontif. And therefore, when they come down on Yontif, is Negrorim Achrei Ragle Hamamalim, they were not Kona Shvisa at the onset of Yontif. Frektigimava Vadilma Hanach Azli Vanach Achrininu. What proves to you that the waters that fell down on Yontif are the same waters that you saw in those thick clouds, and they were Kona Shvisa, and they weren't Kona Shvisa? So maybe these rainwaters that we're looking at actually came from the Ukainus. And the answer is this lay, Simona Begavaihu. We can tell that these rains fell from the clouds that had that specific formation, that they were saturated with water on every Erev Yontif. Iboy Sema, another answer is, Havi Safik to Divrayim, and suffering to the Vram Lahakil, we could be Makil because we're not sure if this water was Kona Shvisa in the clouds, or maybe it wasn't Kona Shvisa in the clouds, it was Kona Shvisa in the Okaidus. And therefore, with regard to the Isatrum, we're going to pass in Suffolk, the Rabbanon, Lekula. The Gemara asks another question, Velikni Shvisa be Ovim. Why don't we say the following, that the water was absorbed in the Ananim, and then it fell on Yontif itself. So Ben Ashmoshes would be Kona Shvisa in the clouds. Tif Shot Minei, we should answer a question that we had, a suffix that we have, the Ein Tchumin Lomayla Me'asara. There's going to be a sugya about whether or not, actually we had the sugya already, whether or not you can, whether or not the laws of Tchumin apply, like Felio, who's flying around from place to place above 10 Tvachim. We see from here that there's no Tchumin Lomayla Me'asara, so the Ananim are above Asar Tvachim, the Yesh Tchumin Liknei Shvisa Be'ovim. So Gemara rejects this. Li'olam Eim L'cha Yesh Tchumin. There is Tchumin L'malam E'asara. That suffix remains an outstanding question. U'maya di'eva mivli bali. But the rainwaters are completely absorbed in the Ananim, and therefore it's as if they don't exist. And here on Daf Mem Vav and Aleph, and with this we'll conclude, is the Gemara rejects this and says, Kol Shkein, he said, how much more so we should prohibit Tiltul on Yontif, because since the water didn't exist at all, Havilu Nolad Vasiri. The Gemara at the beginning of Masechta Beitza says that rainwater is Nolad because it's Mivli Bli. It's not something that's separate that's being carried by the clouds, but rather it's absorbed in the clouds. And that's called the Dovah Shelo Bali Olam. It's Nolad. Ella, rather, the reason why the Mayim are not Kona Shvisa Banom is the Maya Be'ovim Menid Nayit, that the water within the clouds is in motion, and anything that's not Kavua Bimkomo is not Kona Shvisa. So Gemara answers, well, Hashta Dios Lahachi, now that you've come to this answer, is Okainus Nami Lo Likshuri Loch? We can answer your original question about Okainus. Why weren't the waters in the rain Kona Shvisa and the Okainus? And the answer is Mayim Okainus Nami Meid Nayit, because the waters in the ocean are always in motion. And something that's in motion is not Kona Shvisa. V'tanya, Nahoros HaMoshchim HaYonos HaNovim HaReim Kiraglei Kol Adam. That all these moving bodies of water, they take on the Shvisa of the Mamale, of the person who acquires ownership over them, because on Erev Shabbos they weren't Kona Shvisa, because they were in motion. So here's where we're going to stop on the top of Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph, approximately 6 lines down from the top. Omar Rav Yaakov Bar Idi.